And welcome back to the Boys of Winter podcast. It's been a long time coming, ever since our last episode. And some things have changed. Levi Hutchinson is not here as of right now. He's currently going through some stuff. So we have a new co-host as of the time being. Welcome in Tyler Gallo.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, everyone. Thank you. I am here to talk hockey. And I know I'm not a Penguins fan. I'll do my best to just talk about the Penguins.
Well, yeah, this podcast mainly is a Pittsburgh Penguins podcast.
But there's a lot of stuff that happened in hockey over the break, too.
Yes, and Gallo is a New Jersey Devils fan.
Sadly. Suffering New Jersey Devils fan.
Yeah. So just real quick, we go through, like, week-by-week games for the Penguins, what happened. But it's been a month, so we're not going to do that here. We're just going to be a current status update on the Penguins. There's not much to say. I mean, there's so much to say that there's not much to say with the Penguins. It's the same old song and dance. Everyone's hurt, but everyone's overperforming that shouldn't be performing that they do, like they do. Brandon Tanev, John Marino, Zach Aston-Reese, Teddy Bluger, guys like that. It's crazy.
Basically the entire roster.
Yeah. Tristan Jarry's being phenomenal. He's currently an all-star goaltender. Jarry's kind of taking the way as a starting goaltender for this team. He was named to the all-star game. Jake Guentzel was as well, but Jake Guentzel scored a goal, and then right after that, he
died.
Yeah. He's out 4 to 6 months. It's a huge blow for the Penguins.
Yeah, that was a tough injury to watch, too. Speaking of another tough injury to watch, do you see Dougie Hamilton's injury last night?
Yeah, Dougie Hamilton kind of broke his leg last night. Yeah. We don't know if it's exactly a broken leg.
But it looked nasty.
Unless his body is made of Play-Doh, I think it's a broken leg there. Yeah. But as for the Penguins, we're currently getting more healthy. Sidney Crosby is back. He scored 4 points in his return and one goal last night against Boston. We did lose the game against Boston.
He basically just flipped off the entire league when he came back, and he's like, yeah, I'm still good.
Yeah, I'm still good. Yeah, still the best.
Hadn't played in the decade to this point, but here he is.
True.
He's back.
But also, yeah, it's a new decade. We'll do our all-decade teams a little bit later. But trades are starting to somewhat have some circulation around the Penguins. Alex Galchenyuk's name has floated out there for the longest time. Nick Bjugstad, also a name that could possibly be moved. I don't see that happening anytime soon. But a trade that did happen in the past was Taylor Hall. And it's good that we have a Devils fan here to give our take on this. Two major transactions and kind of related to the Devils with Kovalchuk and Taylor Hall. But we'll start with the Taylor Hall trade. What was your initial reaction to the trade?
Honestly, it got to a point where it needed to happen. Yeah. It was a major distraction, and you could tell the team was just
waiting for it to happen.
Yeah, and it was feeling the brunt of this whole debacle that it was. Team wasn't playing well. Hall was not playing up to his, standards. His par. And the team was just suffering from it, and they're such a talented team, and they just played so bad. It's just, it needed to happen. And I do like the return. I don't like that they had to retain half the salary.
Yeah.
I do like...
He's a free agent.
I think Kevin Ball's going to be a very, very good defensive prospect for the Devils.
Played in the World Juniors.
I'm not too keen on Schnarr or Merkley, because I haven't seen them play enough. I know Merkley's been a top prospect for a while for Arizona.
Yeah.
And he just hasn't really made it up. And then Blake Spears was one of our – same thing with Merkley, was one of our top prospects, traded him away. Seen him play a few times, but I think it just needed to happen.
And we saw this one coming from a mile away, considering the fact that he was scratched a couple games before the trade actually happened. It was a healthy scratch. You're not going to healthy scratch Taylor Hall.
Yeah, exactly. And – I mean, he had plenty of maintenance days his time. He hated the fans.
Really?
In an interview, he said, "When we're on a power play, you shouldn't be booing us."
And I remember.
It got to the point where it just needed to happen, and I'm glad it did.
My initial reactions to the trade was, why Arizona of all teams? Yeah. Arizona doesn't seem like a team that really would be a huge buyer, and not a team that you think of when you think of high scoring offense. But now they have Taylor Hall and Phil Kessel. Which is weird, considering their top scorer right now is Nick Schmaltz. I don't understand. I think it's just the way Arizona has played and has played like these past couple of years. It kind of reminds me of, like, the Devils when they had Brodeur. They're mostly a defensive-minded team that doesn't really score a lot of goals. And then you bring in these goal scorers, but they can't really thrive with your system. I think Phil Kessel has less than 10 goals this year. And I think Taylor Hall still does, right?
He had 3, I think, with the Devils.
How many does he have now?
Like 9.
Yeah.
Probably around
They're both
that.
Under 10 goals. And really, they're only getting chances to score on the power play. So it's interesting that it was Arizona. I don't think they're...
there was a lot of teams you could have fit on.
Yeah.
And I think Arizona just offered probably the best
Yeah, they have probably they probably had the best package of prospects because they've been a team at the bottom of the league, so they've been able to stockpile up some picks and prospects. But it's really weird that it was Arizona, in my opinion. Another movement that happened that we mentioned a little bit earlier, Ilya Kovalchuk wasn't with the Devils, but he when this happened, but he was a former Devil, and he went from the LA Kings, or he went to the KHL from the Kings on a huge contract, a little bit overpaid, and the Kings, did they buy him out officially, or what's the difference between buying him out and terminating his contract? Because they officially said terminating their contract, but isn't that just a buyout?
I think if it's a buyout, you still have to pay the contract, but I think termination, you don't have to pay.
Well, then why don't more teams do that?
Because I think it might be a penalty. There might be a penalty for terminating a contract. I'm not sure. Yeah. I mean, we can look up more of that in the future. And he seems to be fitting in with Montreal pretty well.
He's got 7 points already.
After having minus 81 in his LA Kings career.
That's crazy. I didn't know it was that bad.
Yep.
He signs a league minimum deal with the Habs and scored 2 game winners, I think, already. 7 points. Do you still hate him?
Yes, because he left when we were in the middle of just what the heck is happening with this organization.
Yeah.
You know, because Parise left and then Kovalchuk left, and it was just – that's really when the proverbial crap started to hit the fan for the Devils organization, when that all happened. So, and it's just been putting it in reverse every year since.
Other Devils news, 2 firings from the last time that we've been on here. John Hines as a coach and Ray Shiro as a general manager. This hits –
Shiro was surprising to me, but Hines needed to happen.
Yeah,
also.
This hits both of our demographics here with Ray Shiro, former Penguins general manager and former Devils general manager now.
Oh, yeah, and we also have a story about a former Devil and Penguin.
Oh, yeah. We will talk about that later. Ray Shiro was the only general manager to be fired this season so far, as I believe, but there's been a plethora of coaches to be fired. And we've talked about some of them before, like Bill Peters and Mike Babcock, but I'm just going to list off all the ones that have happened so far. Mike Babcock in Toronto, fired. Sheldon Keefe replaces. John Hines in New Jersey. Elaine Nazardine. How do you say that?
Elaine Nazardine.
Nazardine, replacement. Bill Peters fired in Calgary. Jeff Ward, replacement. Jim Montgomery fired in Dallas. Rick Bonus, replacement. Peter DeBoer fired in San Jose. Bob Bugner, replacement. Peter Laviolette, did not see this one coming. Fired in Nashville.
The next one's even more surprising.
Fired in Nashville. John Hines as a replacement. NHL likes to recycle those coaches. Vegas, Gerard Gallant. This just happened the other day. Gerard Gallant got fired. And Peter DeBoer, who just got fired like less than a month ago from the Sharks, is now the new head coach. And then, of course, in general manager terms, Ray Shiro got fired. Thomas Gerald is currently the general manager for the Devils. I'm confused. I don't think I've ever seen a season with this much firing.
Yeah, and
coach
speaking
firings.
Of the firings, since I think November 30th, there's 7 coach firings and 5 Detroit wins. So this just shows you how the state of the Detroit organization. But
great stat.
A lot of these needed to happen, like I've said before plenty of times.
Some of them, yeah.
But some of them are very confusing. Like Laviolette and Gallant are the 2 most confusing ones to me.
I kind of see Peter DeBoer. I see that scenario because the Sharks are awful right now, and they might not even make the playoffs after going to the Western Conference Final last year.
They got lucky getting to the Western.
Well, yeah, they fell off a cliff from what they were. Yes. They lost their captain, and Pavelski, and they're kind of just the cup window's closing for them. So I could see the Peter DeBoer happening. Bill Peters, we know the story of what happened with that stuff behind the scenes type thing. I could understand that one. New Jersey, we already mentioned that one needed to happen. The team's really needing to make a change there. Toronto, even, I can understand happening. They were having an awful start to their season. Sheldon Keefe comes in for them, so I understand that one happening.
And they've played a lot better since.
Yeah, but the rest of these, I don't understand. Yeah. Jim Montgomery in Dallas, like, Dallas thinks they're a contender so bad, but they're not.
They're the window guys. They're the bubble guys. That's the Dallas. Well, here's for me what I think, especially with Gallant, how good Vegas is. By the way, Gallant fired and immediately replaced by DeBoer,
which
leads me to believe that there was something in the works there. But
there might be something behind the scenes.
I've said this plenty of times before. This is a very, very good example of it. Back in 2007, I believe it was, the Devils were on top of the Eastern Conference, and they fired Claude Julien in the middle of the season. And people were just like, well, maybe, I don't know, what's happening?
Something happened behind the scenes.
Yeah, I think the players didn't like him, and Lou Lamoriello probably didn't like him either. So,
yeah. Some behind the scenes, probably. But also, the theory that I have is that so many teams are looking to the 2016 Penguins, the 2009 Penguins, and the 2019 St. Louis Blues, where they all fired their head coach midseason, were kind of struggling and towards the bottom of the league, and then they won the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think a lot of teams, especially like Vegas, who's like still like top three in the Pacific, I think, why would they fire their head coach? But I think they're trying to just get that push to change the scenery. And also the thing that's been happening is the digging up of like the past type stories that we've seen with Babcock. And
I wouldn't mind seeing Laviolette or Gallant behind the Devil's bench next year.
Really?
I wouldn't mind. I definitely want Gallant. But I think
Gerard Gallant's going to Seattle.
Someone mentioned the NHL is trying to do where they did with Vegas to get them be good right out of the gate, get Seattle good right out of the gate, have Gallant coach, and he did it and won the Jack Adams. So yeah. And we got that story to talk about.
Yes, a quick story here as we move on. Tyler Kennedy was at where we live last night. It was cool to see. Every year, for those of you that know, I do the Women's Ice Hockey Podcast as well, and I cover the women's ice hockey team here at Robert Morris, and they did a panel last night for mental health awareness, which these upcoming games that they have against Syracuse are trying to promote. And one of their guests on this panel was former Stanley Cup champion Tyler Kennedy.
Yeah.
And we went to go down and see him and get his autograph. It was an experience, and it was cool to see him.
We waited
for a couple hours, but it was worth it.
Yeah, it's definitely worth it. He's a cool guy. And by the way, he said his favorite teammate in his time in Pittsburgh was Jordan Staal.
Yeah, that makes sense. He played with him probably the most out of anyone. We had the Staal.
He said Gino is Gino.
We had the Staal Cook Kennedy line as our third line for a very long time. And that was kind of the precursor to Hagelin Veneno Kessel as your third line center there. The NHL All-Star Game is approaching, and I hate it. I really don't like the All-Star Game anymore. John Scott was the peak, and that's it. I kind of forced the players to draft their team. I force myself to watch it is really what it is, because I don't want to miss anything. Like if something cool happens, I don't want to like not see it or like something like that. Like when Matthews did the Marlowe tribute that one time in San Jose. Was that last year? I don't even remember. But like there's some cool moments that I don't want to miss, but also I don't want to watch the entire thing. It's super boring, especially if it's covered by NBC and I think there's plenty of ways you can make it better. I will give props, though. I really like the idea of them having the women's ice hockey teams.
Coming from someone whose dad coaches a women's hockey team at University of Delaware, I think this is good.
Yeah, it's a good step.
Is this the NWHL? Are these players?
It's Canada versus USA.
Oh, okay. So that's even better.
It'll be like Amanda Kessel and those girls. Yeah, I'm definitely excited for that. But other than that, I don't care. The All-Star rosters every year, people criticize. And there's obviously a couple snubs this year, but everyone's getting hurt, so you have to replace everyone. Crystal Tang didn't even make the original roster.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
He was voted in, and then he was named captain, so it was weird.
Panarin should be captain of Metro.
We're really happy that Tristan Jarry made it, though. That's really what I like about the All-Star game, is seeing players that have never made it before make
it. Yeah, like, I'm pretty happy that Nico made it.
Yeah,
even though
Tyler Bertuzzi, Anthony Duclair, but also, are those players All-Stars? I don't think so. So I have some
gripes about this.
Well, I have some proposals for a better NHL All-Star game, and you can chime in here if you want with your own ideas. But I think that the representing one from every team thing should end. And I know that's kind of a stretch because you want to represent every team in the NHL, but some teams are awful, like the Senators and the Red Wings. We don't need Mike Green to be at the All-Star game. We don't need Anthony Duclair to be at the All-Star game. Those players are going to be traded at the deadline, probably.
Yeah.
I think it should be fan-voted the entire thing. That would be the most interesting thing ever, because you would have players that should make it.
Yeah.
Like, you would have your like people's favorite players make it, like Crosby and Ovechkin would probably make it. But you would also have joke character type people that people think it's funny. Like, what if Jack Johnson makes the All-Star game?
Well, that's what they're trying to protect, I think. That's what the NHL is trying to protect.
Why,
though?
It's so fun.
The glue guys that are in the All-Star game.
It's so fun.
I remember the one year they stuffed the voting for Rory Fitzpatrick, like a former defenseman, and then he didn't get in. But, like, John Scott. Like, that's
the thing he did. Yeah, the thing.
They're trying to protect it from John Scott. That's basically what
they kind of made the Coyotes trade John Scott.
Yeah.
So I just think that's such a cool idea. If you just have everyone be fan voted in, everyone. And the most votes are the captains. That's it.
That's what they do in the MLB.
Yeah,
they do fan voting in the MLB. And
do they have to represent every team?
They don't. They do represent every team, but they don't. They don't have to.
Like, yeah.
I don't think there was anybody from the Orioles last year because they're so bad, or the Tigers. But I think that it's a good idea, especially even though you have some fans of teams will probably hack the voting like the Royals did in 2015, where like their entire lineup was the starters. But yeah, I think they need to bring back the fan voting because that was the best All-Star.
And then you take those players and per division, and it doesn't matter division wise anymore. I think you get rid of the division things, and I think you do the fan draft or the fantasy draft again. That was fun to see. You do that like the day before the actual game, during the skills competition, something like that, and then you see who gets drafted. But I was looking up some cool ideas, and I found this article from ESPN. You should have an All-Star draft and you get a random position, because no one cares about the All-Star game. No one's taking this super seriously.
Yeah.
What if
it doesn't have any implications?
What if you get a random position, and if it's not your position, you still have to play it? Like, this guy mentioned an example. What if Phil Kessel and Brent Burns had to play goalie?
That would
be so fun to watch. Well, like, Carey Price as a forward, Marc-Andre Fleury as a right winger. That would be so fun to watch. I would watch that all day. I think it's a great idea.
I think they maybe could add implications too. What they used to do in the MLB was they would have the winner, whoever won the All-Star game, which league won the All-Star game, would host the World Series.
I think
if they have implications for this All-Star game, they could have the whichever conference wins hosts the Stanley Cup final.
I feel like that should be the case too. I mean, it kind of is the case this year, but it wasn't obviously planned. St. Louis is hosting the All-Star game this year. But I just think you need to put all stars in the All-Star game.
Exactly.
Instead of Tyler Bertuzzi and Anthony Duclair not.
You know, you have guys having ridiculous seasons like Mika Zibanejad, and they're not even in the All-Star game. But you have guys like Tyler Bertuzzi who are
happen to
lead the terrible Detroit Red Wings in points. It's just not good.
Not discrediting those guys on anything. We have somewhat of a quicker episode this week due to the fact this is in between both of our classes, and we had some technical difficulties earlier. So we're running low on time, but we do want to do our all-decade team for the 2020 – or for 2010 to 2020. It has – ever since last episode, a decade is come and gone, and Christmas has come and gone. It's been a while since our last episode, so
– people have come and gone from this podcast.
Yeah. So we're going to do our all-decade teams. The rules here, the implications are four forward lines, three D pairs, two goalies. And I did four scratches because there's a lot of players here that you could have picked.
Well, we both have the same first and second line, so.
So, yeah, starting out with the first line, we have the same line. Ovechkin, Crosby, Kane. And I don't think you can do an all-decade team without having those three on there at all. Well, hold on. I want to do – all right.
He was left off the top 10 by the NHL, Patrick.
Yeah, Williams. That was awful. And their reasoning behind that was because of his legal implications of what he did. I mean, while I'm not supporting that kind of stuff, he's still one of the greatest players to ever play the game.
Exactly. One of the guys we grew up with.
I want to just start out before we get into, the meat of the team here. Well, you already know who the first line is. I want to go over some of my scratches or just players I didn't pick overall. My scratches are John Tavares, Nicholas Backstrom, who I really wanted to pick in there. I'm a Penguins fan, but I still respect Nicholas Backstrom. But there's a player that's kind of entered the league in 2015 who I had to put in there as center. Zdeno Chara, kind of wanted to put him in there. And Shea Weber also as well. Other players I didn't even put on the team. Blake Wheeler, Jonathan Toews, who I think is super overrated. Jamie Benn. Tyler Seguin, Oliver Ekman-Larsson, Henrik Lundqvist is not on my team or is a scratch.
Yeah, he's not on my team either.
He's not a good goaltender in my opinion. Neither is Pekka, and he's not on my team, but I will give him the honorable mention. PK Subban and Ryan Suter, also Corey Crawford,
it's cause not on my team at all. I actually have Subban in my scratches. I just think Subban was good at the beginning when he first came up, but then he's really tailed off.
That's why I don't have him on my –
Because I think the Devils are trying to use him as he was in Montreal, and they can't do that.
So who are your scratches?
My scratches are Claude Giroux and John Tavares. I really do not like Claude Giroux. I think he's overrated insanely, even though he's got a lot of points in this decade.
Yeah.
I just think that
he deserves to be on
jump out. He doesn't really jump out at me. And then Tavares, same thing. You know, he's there. He's good. But
he's not good enough.
He's not good enough. And then Yandle and Subban. Yandle, because his points, obviously.
Keith Yandle.
Not because Yandle is any good, just because his points are there. And then Subban.
Steady defenseman through.
These four guys are just outside looking in, close enough, but not really.
So our first line, Ovechkin, Crosby, Kane. Yeah, there's not much you can say about these players. Those are the three best players possibly this entire decade. I would argue some of them are top five all time.
Yeah.
Top ten all time. Ovechkin, Crosby there. Our second line is identical, which is weird because I didn't expect that to happen. Also, the rules on this is that you can put centers and like if you play forward, you can put left wing, right wing because there's so many good centers. I put Steven Stamkos as my left winger. Yes, I know he doesn't play center or he doesn't play left wing. He plays center. Evgeny Malkin's my second line center. I have to have Crosby and Malkin as my top two centers. And Phil Kessel is my right winger. He has to be on there somewhere. And putting him with Malkin is kind of just a joke in itself. So my second line, Stamkos, Malkin, Kessel, and yours as well.
Same three because they're also some of the most prolific point scorers this decade.
Yeah.
And if you get points, you're the best player. I mean,
I really want Stamkos to win a cup before he retires. He deserves it. He's one of my favorite players to watch. He's had some injury trouble in the past, but he's a great player.
It all started with that net crash. Yep. That was the worst one. Yep. And then he's just been downhill since there.
All right, our third lines differ a little bit. Well, actually, completely. We have six different players here. I hate Brad Marchand, but you got to admit, he's a great player. And I think NBCSN just posted a tweet the other day that Brad Marchand replied to. It was like 55 game winners this decade, Brad Marchand.
Yeah, Marchand is on my fourth.
Yeah, he's definitely a good player. He's got a cup in the decade. And I put his center for the most part of the decade, Patrice Bergeron, as my center. And then for my right winger, I put Nikita Kucherov. I know he really hasn't been a huge part of the decade. He's more in the later half of the decade.
He'll be definitely the 2020s.
You can't score, what do you have, like 120-something points?
Yeah.
You got to have him. Like, you got to recognize that some way, some form. You don't even have him on your team at all, do you?
No. He just missed my team, honestly. Yeah. Because
Kucherov, he's a good player.
He hasn't played enough, in my opinion. I think he'll be on definitely in the 2020s, though, if he continues at this pace. But for me, my third line, you mentioned Blake Wheeler, one of the most underrated players.
He is very underrated.
Nicholas Backstrom, again, goes hand-in-hand with Ovechkin. You can't keep him off the team. And then Andre Kopitar, as much as I hate him for 2012. Yeah.
He's great. He's a great player.
He's a great leader.
He's
been the only guy that really the Kings – him and Doughty have been the only guys that the Kings have really been able to rely upon these last couple of years. And fourth lines.
Fourth line, I have Kopitar as my fourth line left winger. Yes, I know he's a center. And then I had to put Connor McDavid in here.
I changed mine last minute.
Yeah, I saw you did that. You removed Jamie Benn.
Yeah.
McDavid has to be on here somewhere. You think about it, and it's a decade is 10 years. He came in 2015.
5 years.
That's half a decade. Yeah. And he's done some pretty amazing things so far. Yes, he hasn't made it past the second round of the playoffs, but don't worry, he will.
Once he leaves,
he'll definitely be the top. Yeah, once he leaves the Oilers, he'll definitely be at the top of our 2020 all decade team. Don't you worry
easily,
about that.
Easily, yeah.
I put Claude Giroux as my bottom line right winger. He is a great player, and he scores a lot of points, and he's done some things to the Penguins that are pretty like he's gotten under the Penguins' skin, especially in 2012. So
yeah, I
had to put him on
the
team somewhere.
I had to put him in a scratch because I can't justify having him anywhere. That goes against my grain to have Giroux anywhere on the team, even though, yeah, he's good, but he's consistently overrated by both the NHL and their fan base.
Yeah, well,
just because
you have a player on your team that I think is consistently overrated by the NHL because he's a captain.
I just had to. That's
so your fourth line.
Yep, that's Marchand, McDavid, and Taves.
So we already talked about Marchand and McDavid.
Taves, we can just...
Jonathan Taves, while he's a great leader, I think he's probably one of the best leaders in the league at, like, being a captain. He's not a $10 million player. He's not a top 100 NHL player of all time, and he's not good, in my opinion, especially not anymore. Guess, I forget what season was, but he scored... he was on pace to score as many points as Tom Wilson.
Well,
he's not good. Yeah. I'm sick of Jonathan... And that's really the reason I started to hate the Blackhawks so much. There's a part of me that was obviously jealous because they were winning, but it's just that Taves was getting so much praise, and people were saying he was better than Crosby. People were saying he was the best player in the league. He's a great second, third line center on a good team, in my opinion. He's not a $10 million player. I just do not like Jonathan Toews, the overhyping around him. But you got him on your team, though.
I think we can just fire through these defensemen, too.
Yeah, the defenseman pairing, my defensive pairings, I got Carlson and Hedman. No Stanley Cups on that pairing, but still probably two of the best defensemen.
See, I have a different Carlson and Hedman, but I have John Carlson and Hedman on the second line. First line is Erik Karlsson and Brent Burns, who are currently a D pair,
which is crazy. And it's crazy how bad the Sharks are.
I noticed you didn't put Burns on your team, maybe because he just played wing.
Well, there's your scratch. Yeah. I'll remove Weber and put Burns there.
And then I got Doughty and Letang. You've got Doughty and Letang also.
I've got Doughty and Letang as a pairing. Those are where your cups come from. Chris Letang has to be on here somewhere. He's a phenomenal defenseman, even though the injuries have plagued him through the past decade, he's one of the best defensemen in the league.
It all started
He needs to win a Norris, not an All-Star captaincy.
It all started when he fell down the stairs at the All-Star draft, and then he's just getting injured every year since then.
Yeah, that's what – no, it all started when Bo Bennett came to the Penguins, and he plagued us with injuries ever since. Bo Bennett,
Devils legend.
Yeah, and Penguins legend, yeah.
He played with Tyler Kennedy. Tyler Kennedy.
Twice. Too.
And then the goalies.
Yeah, well, hold on. My third pairing on defense is Duncan Keith, who I was not a huge fan of the Blackhawks when they were going through their tirade of Stanley Cups, but you got to acknowledge how good he was as a player. And I have Roman Josi. I was going to pick a Nashville defender, whether it be Weber, whether it be Ryan Suter, whether it be Subban, but I went with Roman Josi because he's having a great year this year. And I really think he's a great defenseman, and he's one of the sole reasons I got the 2017 finals.
Yeah.
Goaltending. Before we even get to our picks here, we're going to bring up Henrik Lundqvist. Henrik Lundqvist is a good goalie, but he's not a great goalie in my opinion.
Nope,
in my opinion. What has he done? Why did they call him the king if he hasn't won a thing in his entire career?
He's been in the direct shadow of Martin Brodeur his entire career.
Okay.
And I think because he's gotten some wins and he's gotten some good stats. He's had some good teams in front of him. You know, the Rangers, I'm not even going to discount it. The Rangers were really good in the 2010s before these few years. And I just think that his team has been so good in front of him that he's been able to win these games. And has he won a Vezina yet?
I don't know. He probably has.
He's either won a Vezina or a Jennings. I'm not surprised. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if he has, but... Shouldn't be called the king.
He's so overrated. And I just – him and Toews are probably the two players that I am just frustratingly annoyed with how overrated they are.
Yeah.
And that's the past decade. This current decade is Matthews and Marner probably. But we'll get to that in next decade. But our picks for goaltending, we both have the starting goaltender, which some teams like that I've seen for all decade teams doesn't even have this man on there. On the team at all. And my pick is Marc-Andre Fleury.
Yeah, Fleury's, in my opinion, the most flashy and the best goaltender of the decade.
He's not only has he done things with – he's not only won, but he's done things for the NHL that has really made him a great character and one of the faces you see in the NHL, and you just smile. He's a great guy, and I miss him dearly. But if you look at my team, I have Crosby, Kessel, Malkin, Letang, Fleury.
I only have one Devil on my team, too, so, and it's Subban, so that doesn't really count.
Yeah, as a scratch. And then
that shows
my backup.
How bad the Devils have been this decade.
My backup goaltender is who was once the greatest goaltender in the NHL, which still could be argued, but he's went through so much injuries. Carey Price is my backup.
And then my backup is Tuukka Rask,
which I am so confused.
It was
on.
Hard. I juggled between Rask and. I really juggled with Rask and Price.
Only got good at in 2013. That's 3 years missed there in the decade.
Yeah, I just think that the way I saw him play in the playoffs, when he plays in the playoffs, he's just an unreal goalie.
Yeah, I know. We know 2013, we got swept.
Well, and 2019.
We couldn't score.
His playoff last year.
He had a very good playoff last year. If the Bruins would have won the Cup, he probably would have won the Conn Smythe.
Yeah. So that's why I have him, mostly because Price. Also, I don't like Price because he injured Kyle Palmieri for no reason, but.
Yeah, that was funny.
Yeah, so that's a good old.
So
decade.
Those are all decade teams. My first line, well, both of our first lines: Ovechkin, Crosby, Kane, Stamkos, Malkin, Kessel. My third line: Marchand, Bergeron, Kucherov. My fourth line: Kopitar, McDavid, Giroux. D pairings for me: Carlson, Hedman, Doughty, Letang, Keith, Josi, and then my goaltenders: Fleury and Price. Gallo's team: same top six: Wheeler, Backstrom, Kopitar. Your third line. Marshan, McDavid, Toews, your fourth line. D pairings, Carlson, Burns, John Carlson, Hedman, Doughty, Letang, goaltenders, Fleury, Rask. And that'll conclude our episode. I know it's a shorter episode here for the boys' winner. But we'll be back next week, hopefully with some more interesting content for you guys. Thank you all for listening. And be sure to check out RMU Century Media. Follow us on Twitter. You're Tyler Gallo
37.
And if you're listening to this podcast, you probably know my Twitter. Also, be sure to check out the Pittsburgh Sports Castle all-decade recap of the Penguins. I put a lot of work in that four-part decade recap for the Penguins. So definitely give it a read. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you next week.